thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, all presented to you by FanDuel.com. FanDuel, of course, been putting their name on this show for a while now, and if you want to sign up through our links to their site, not only are you helping us out on the podcast, but you're also getting access to our incentives for 12 months. And, of course, that includes the new NHL incentive, which gets rolling here on Wednesday. Of course, the new NHL season going, and we're proud to offer that this year. And, of course, you get access to all the incentives throughout the year, NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball, all that good stuff, and certainly appreciative of you guys supporting our sponsors here in Roto Grinders. So a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of industry topics that I feel like I need to kind of give an opinion on. And let's start out with the big news of the week. And again, I hate talking about this stuff, but it's necessary. And it's one of these moments where, you know, doing this podcast for so long, you're expected to give thoughtful opinions on it, but it's never easy to do. Just try to be fair to everybody involved today. That's all I'm trying to do with this podcast. Let's start out with the news for the people who are not big followers of the forums or Twitter. This is basically what happened and why there's been a lot of chatter about this particular topic. And last week over there on DraftKings, you had Ethan, who's somebody who worked for us at Roto Grinders for many of years. He's somebody who I have a lot of respect for, a guy I consider a friend, and somebody I know really, really well. But he works for DraftKings, DraftKings Playbook, DKTV, and was going to publish a column talking about percentage owned of players in the Millionaire Maker, which is a fine piece of content, I suppose. But the problem is, he published it before all those players had played, which is a bit of a big mistake, because that means he had access to information that everybody else didn't. So that really upset a lot of people. He realized, you know, the error of his ways and, you know, was accountable for it and said, yes, you know, I shouldn't have published that. That was on me. My fault. But then, obviously, the question needs to be asked is, why does somebody have access to that information ahead of time? Who has access to such information on the sites behind the scenes? And you know what? Those talking points I can get behind. I have no problem with people wanting to have a sensible discussion about who has access to back-end material on the major sites. Totally get it. But here's the problem, is that's not the narrative people were bringing up. People were drawing a ridiculous conclusion here with Ethan, because what he went on to do that same week on FanDuel was finish second place in their Sunday Million Tournament. And next thing you know, people were putting those two things together and drawing a line, basically saying that Ethan had this information that caused him to win on a different site, and Ethan is a cheater. And that, to me, is ridiculous. Nothing could be further from the truth than that, for a lot of reasons. Let me debunk some of those here right now. First off, if he was going to write this column, and he said that, you know, I didn't get this information until way after roster lock. And let's face it, FanDuel being a site that locks at 1 o'clock, if you don't have the information before then, it doesn't really do you that much good. I believe him in that statement. The skeptics won't, okay? Fine. If you don't want to believe him, let's pretend for a second that he did, although I'm very confident that he didn't. Even if he did, how useful is it? It's a little bit useful, but when you consider that on FanDuel we get the percentage owned of players from the Thursday contest on field reports on Roto Grinders or Football Guys or a number of other outlets, it's really not that useful. I mean, it is, but it isn't, because it's available elsewhere. And the fact of the matter is, he still has to build a lineup to be 229,000 people. And if you think that, again, I don't believe he did have it, but if you believe for a second that by him having that information is why he did it, well, then you flat out don't get daily fantasy sports. You don't get it. You don't understand it. The two, those two are not mutually exclusive at all. And the fact that people are making those claims, the fact that people are claiming it's insider trading, or that Ethan could get a class action lawsuit against him, is just preposterous. And stop it. Okay, what happened was not right. What happened needs to be fixed. But what happened did not cause him to have a good day on FanDuel at all. And people who say say that it is, they're wrong. End of story. Yes, you can have your opinion, but your opinion can be wrong. And your opinion is wrong. And you can say he had an unfair advantage. Again, the numbers are available to you in the Thursday contests. And how does he differentiate which low-owned guy is the one he needs to have? He can't. So it's just preposterous. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And more than anything is, you know, people who spit that narrative out, that's the crap that gets picked up by the major media outlets because that stuff sells. Those are the headlines that they're looking for. And that sucks for us as an industry that we've got to defend it and be like, no, 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 that's not taking place. Rather than having a real meaningful discussion about whether or not employees should have access to certain information on sites. That's the discussion that needs to be had. And that needs to be basically had sooner rather than later. And it's a situation where it's kind of a double-edged sword. You have to have people who have that. If people have questions, whether it's customer service, whether it's development, to think that you can encrypt your entire site so nobody can see anything is, again, I don't pretend to be a dev person, but that doesn't seem realistic to me. So I suppose the question could be put forth is, should people who work on DFS sites be allowed to play on other sites? Now, that's a legitimate question that I think can be asked, and it'll be interesting to see how the sites approach that, because I can understand that, you know, from a public standpoint, from a point of view of people who are looking at daily fantasy from the outside in, it could look like, yes, there could be a conflict of interest there by that happening. But I think the conflict of interest is probably even less about them playing on other sites. It's, to me, more about like the information that people can gather on that particular site and hand off to other people. Because I think your biggest advantage is, especially because you're talking about salaries, you're talking about caps, you're talking about rosters, there's a lot of things that differ between the two sites. I suppose there is definitely some correlation between guys who could be a good play on one site and a good play on another site, but there's also a lot of times where there is zero correlation between it. But I think the biggest issue would be if somebody was working at one site, working at FanDuel, and got information there and passed it along to other players playing on said site. I don't believe that is happening. Is that a concern we should have as an industry? Potentially, because that's something that could come to haunt us down the road. And I think a lot of people want to talk about regulation and whether or not there needs to be oversight within DFS. And I think that's a viable question. I just don't know in what form that comes. Is it government regulation? Is it done on a state basis? Does each state have different regulation? I mean, it just feels like really potentially a mess for it. And I think that the sites obviously would love to avoid that. I don't think they'd love to avoid it because they're covering anything up. And I know that there's people who follow Daily Fantasy, and I don't get it. I don't get the people who come on our forums and hate on Daily Fantasy. And that's fine. If you want to be a skeptic, go for it, okay? And you're entitled to your opinion, but it's amazing to me to see the people who just love to bash it and say this and say that and say the sky is falling. And listen, I'm all about having discussion to make the industry better, to make it stronger. That's what this should be about. But I don't necessarily believe that there is as much shady business as people believe at this moment. And this is a perfect example of it. But with that said, The site's not, they gotta be better than they're doing. They've gotta be better than they are right now. And that's another thing. Like, let's point the finger here. I mean, both FanDuel and DraftKings have to realize at this moment in time, there is more eyes on them than there will ever be. When you saturate the market with the amount of advertising that they have, suddenly you become targets of anyone and everyone. Whether it's idiotic columns written over there on Deadspin like we saw last week, to mischaracterizations of what we do by people on major platforms like SportsCenter and whatnot, I absolutely, you just have to know that, like, you've got to be on top of everything. And the sites are not at this moment in time. I mean, this was a horrible weekend, a horrible week. Between what happened with, you know, the, I guess you could say, data breach, if you want to use that term, at DraftKings, you also had a situation where their games didn't lock for MMA at 7 o'clock like they were supposed to, and the fights had already started. Or the fight started early. I don't know exactly what took place, but the fact is people could change their lineups knowing the outcome of a match. And basically what they had to do was scratch the entire slate. There was no other way around it. That's all they could do. But you can't let that happen. I realize mistakes are going to happen, but at this point in time, these sites need to be on point. And then you have FanDuel with mislabeling a tournament as single entry when it wasn't. And again, do I think there was any shady business on that? Absolutely not. Was it a mistake? Absolutely. But it's just more ammunition for the haters of DFS. And it's a damn shame that they're getting so sloppy. And maybe some of this has to do with increased growth. I think that's probably part of it. But the fact of the matter is, when you're under the microscope, and a head chopper said this best in the forum thread on RotoGrinders, when you're under the microscope like we are, you can't be making the mistakes that you're making. Because even if they're harmless, and believe me, I 100% believe that they are, people are going to spin them in a different manner, and we're already seeing it. With those headlines that I talked about before, with this Ethan situation, they've been spinning it a totally different direction than it should be going in. So again, let's keep the narrative on improving this industry. Is regulation the answer? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I can't tell you. I'm not a professional when it comes to knowing exactly whether or not that's going to keep people above board. I mean, if you have oversight, if you have government oversight, is that going to change things that much in the daily fantasy landscape in terms of, you know, keeping you comfortable playing on a site? Will it? I don't know. For me, it doesn't really change a thing because I'm fully comfortable. And I want this to be known as well. If you do not feel comfortable playing on a daily fantasy site, then don't play. Okay? They might not like me to say that, but I think they would agree. If you don't think that things are above board in DFS, then why are you playing? And it's funny because we've seen so many of these things happen in the past. Everybody says, that's it. The sky's falling. Never going to play again. And they always come back. Is there places we can improve as an industry? Yes. Can we protect the data better? Yes. Absolutely. And I hope the sites are proactive in making sure that takes place, because ultimately that's really important. The integrity of the games, I believe, is one of the most important things we can have. And I don't think it's been breached at all. I think that people will make that suggestion to push their own personal narrative. And clearly, you know, this is all going to be brought up by, you know, skeptics who look at daily fantasy as, you know, something that they don't want around. And it's a shame, because in my eyes, it's mistakes, and they're mistakes that allow people to draw conclusions that are inaccurate. But I'm not sitting here slotting things under a rug saying, hey, everything's fine and dandy in daily fantasy land. Absolutely not. You know, we're not in a perfect society. We're not in a perfect DFS utopia at this moment. There are always things we can improve. Just whether or not it's, regulation that's going to improve it. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in that category. I know a lot of things that often do get regulated, they don't turn out better, but maybe in daily fantasy's case, they do. But the fact of the matter is, The integrity of the games is the most important thing in my eyes. And it's funny because you see, you know, somebody like Harold Abab Bulgaris, who's like a big-time sports bettor who's, you know, always got his eye on DFS. And I think his biggest concern, and it's an absolute valid one, is how do we know that people on working behind the scenes at the daily fantasy sites don't look at the lineup of somebody who's really good player, and it's not hard to figure out who those people are, and send that information to somebody else playing on the site? And that's a valid question. That's a valid question. But here's my response to that. If you're that concerned, if you think that's happening, you shouldn't be playing on Daily Fantasy, because I don't really know a way to 100% police that. And I don't pretend to be a development expert. I just have a hard time believing that you can encrypt an entire site so nobody can see anything and be able to solve different customer service questions that are ultimately going to take place. Maybe there is a way to do it, and I don't know how to do it. But if you believe, if that is a worry of yours, if you think that that can happen and that's going to take away your edge as a player, then you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be. I don't have that concern. I don't share that concern. And yes, it only takes one rogue employee to do it. But you know what? And I don't say in every walk of life, but in a lot of different areas, things like that can take place. And I don't live in fear of it. Are there things we can do to make it better? Sure. But is setting a limit to say, if you work for us, you can't play somewhere else, does that solve it? I don't think it does. But I think it probably looks better in the public's eye if you have that. So the question is the positive PR good enough to upset the people who are working at your site who want to play DFS elsewhere? That's a question they have to answer, and we'll see what they do. I think ultimately that's not what the outcome is going to be. And I think they're going to be fighting the fight again from a public standpoint, saying they're just turning a blind eye to it. So, I mean, that's kind of the double-edged sword here that you're looking at. You have to weigh public perception with the actual, you know, event that's kind of taking place here. Sure, you can believe all your employees are above board. And you may think they are, and maybe they are. But if it's going to give ammunition to the naysayers of DFS, then maybe it's worthwhile just to kind of cut it off altogether. Because ultimately, that's a really important thing to consider right now. Is your, you know, being an insider, somebody who's a part of it, and you can look at it and say, yeah, we're doing everything right. Yes, we make mistakes. But in terms of the way that we're presenting the games and playing the games and having the information looked at, we are doing everything on the up and up. That's fine. I totally understand that, and I believe them. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the New York Times or the Boston Globe or Wall Street Journal who can look at things, interpret things differently. And they do, believe me. There's smart people this weekend who I had to message and kind of explain this Ethan situation, because they basically thought that it was cheating, that it was insider trading, that there was, you know, something highly unethical happening in this particular situation. And I don't think there was. I don't think that any of that took place. I think it was a huge, huge mistake to have that to give him access to that, but I also don't think that had any reason to do with his success that weekend. And again, that goes back to having to care about the way other people look at our industry as we move forward, because all eyes are on us. When you're in every commercial break, when you're in every bus stop, when you're basically everywhere that can be seen, when there's sports being related, sports being played, everyone knows who you are. And when you're on top, what do we know this much? They love to take you down. And that 100% applies to us. So I plead to the sites, let's be more careful with everything that we're doing. And it doesn't even have to say with this Ethan situation. Again, to me, it's less about Ethan. It's more about who has access to what information. And with that said, I don't have definitive answer to who should or who shouldn't, because I don't pretend to be a development expert. Ideally, yes, you only want a limited number of people to have back-end information who can look at people who are owned, look at people's rosters and whatnot. But is that realistic? I mean, when you consider how many how many inquiries these customer service people get on a given day, and you've got new people who are like, I can't enter this contest, or I can't select this person, it's not working, they have to be able to go in there and look at the problem more so than just looking at, you know, encrypted information, right? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But to me, it just feels like there has to be a way for people to help people and look at that information when they need to. But it's tough. It's a really, really tough question. And I honestly don't have all the answers to it. But I do have the answers of us needing to look better in a lot of different lights. And us needing to look at things not just from right and wrong in our bubble, but whether or not it looks right and wrong from outside of our bubble. Because honestly, outside of the bubble is going to decide the future of Daily Fantasy more than the inside of the bubble. Because honestly, I have trust in the FanDuels and the DraftKings. I do. And it's funny because I think most people do. Most people who play Daily Fantasy enjoy Daily Fantasy. The sites have continued to grow at an incredible pace. And not too many people do I find play Daily Fantasy and hate it and say, you know what, this isn't for me. Most people love it. It's a fun game. It's an opportunity to use your knowledge in sports, maybe make a little money, but ultimately have you enjoy the games more than you ever did before in your life. Think of how many NBA games out there you watched before Daily Fantasy, or baseball, or hockey, college football. It makes it more interesting. It makes it fun. And Daily Fantasy is a great game, but I do think that we're also in the crosshairs of a lot of people at this moment. So, again, let's carry on a legitimate, thoughtful discussion that can move forward the issues that are there with DFS. Should FanDuel have a .csv? Probably they should. You know what? For the longest time, I wouldn't say I said it wasn't necessary, but I kind of barked up the tree of, you know what? Do we really need it? Are they really worth spending development time on it? And I said that for the longest time, but we're at a point in time now where absolutely, just to shut people up about it, they should offer a .csv of their tournaments. As soon as they lock, you should be able to download everybody's team, everybody's lineup at that moment. Just to be above board. Just to make sure that there isn't any funny business going on. I don't think there is, but it gives the public a safeguard. I don't think that was necessarily in the past, but right now, especially when you consider how big these tournaments are, you know what? Making that argument, go for it. And especially now, in the landscape that we're in, I don't see a reason not to offer it. So, there you go. That's kind of my take on this situation. Maybe you like it, maybe you hate it, but honestly, I think we can all get better by it. But I'm going to say this again. If you are distrustful of the sites, if you really believe that they are not doing things above board, then just don't play the games any longer. And you know that might not be the answer that you like, because, again, I'm striving to improve the industry. There are piles of things that I would love the industry to do better, and we can do better. But there's also a line kind of drawn in the sand between people who fall into my camp, who want to have thoughtful, meaningful discussion about this, and people who are trying to garner headlines and, you know, basically take down the industry. None of these things that took place, to me, are worrisome as a player in their isolated, you know, situations that took place. But that doesn't mean that there's not issues that can't improve because certain things came to light. That's what we need to work on. So there you go. That's my take on this. Again, my personal opinions, and we'll see what sites kind of institute here in the coming days and weeks regarding this. But there you go. That's my thoughts. In terms of the games this weekend, again, really low scoring week in the NFL. Only 100 points less over on DraftKings than FanDuel for the leader in the clubhouse of the Millionaire Makers. So be sure to check out Night Sweats tonight. FanDuel Sunday Millions, DraftKings Millionaire Maker. We're just going to have a ton of content following those guys as they're obviously try to hold on and win $1 million. Other people come from behind here on this Monday night. And lots of great content coming your way. Obviously, we've got NHL happening on Wednesday. Also, soccer. This is actually the time of year where I start paying a little bit more attention to soccer as well, because I've got a little bit more time on my hands. So certainly check that out. We want to thank our sponsor, FanDuel. We want to thank you for listening to this podcast. And certainly tell your friends about it, subscribe to it, and we can obviously continue to try and make this industry grow bigger and better and stronger. Ultimately, that's more important. Yes, bigger is nice, but we need to be stronger as an industry. And I think our own narratives that we push forward, which, you know, I don't want to say narratives, but our own concerns can make that happen. So certainly appreciate you guys joining us here as well each and every day on the podcast. Till next time, have a great Monday, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto-Grinders.